If you understood what God's been doing in our church and for my wife and my family. 3 weeks ago, we were to a point. I came out here, if you didn't know, from Pennsylvania. 3,000 miles. We traveled in 5 days. We came to no job, no money. The church couldn't afford to pay us. They couldn't even help us come out. We came by faith. I worked a little bit over the summer, kept us going. We had some money. We pretty much dried that all up. And I took a job at Centralia Christian School, just very part-time. And we were getting by, but things were getting tight. And we were to the point where we were scraping together. And I don't know if you've ever done that. I grew up poor, so I'm used to scraping change together and counting it out. To buy laundry soap and toothpaste. In the last week, out of the last 7 days, there were only two that I didn't get a check or cash in the mail. Now, I was sharing with the people this morning. I said, when you're at a point where you say you can't afford to give, that's when you need to give the most. Because you can't afford to not give at that point. You see, I think our problem is not a problem with what we have. Our problem is a problem with ownership. Because we believe that we own what's inside of here. But if we understand that the silver is His and the gold is His and He owns the cattle, He owns it all. He owns this shirt that I'm wearing. And if you like it, I'll give it to you. You probably don't like it, but but you understand my concept. If we walked outside and I was driving a vehicle and you said, man, I really like that, or God laid it upon my heart to give that vehicle to you, it doesn't matter how new it is because I don't own it. See, but we have this concept of ownership even inside of the church, and it causes us to grip tight what God has blessed us with, but God doesn't bless us so that we can build a bigger barn and stash it away. He blesses us so that we can be a blessing to other people. Because listen to me, you can't be a blessing to other people if you're walking around broke and sick and dejected. And listen to me, you're not bringing any glory to Jesus in that state. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, when was the last time somebody glorified your Father in heaven just because your light shined into their life? Okay. And so I'm learning to let go of what He gives me, and I'm going to try to outgive Him. I've made my mind up. My wife and I talked about it. I said, this is it. He's got me blown away. The church, I'm telling you, the church, 2 weeks, was it a week ago? 2 weeks ago, we went to pick up these chairs that they had in storage, and we're thinking, oh, well, they're going to be okay, but they're, you know, it's probably nothing major. We get there and I get out of the truck first and I go around and they open up the storage unit and I'm looking at these chairs like, oh my. Oh my. And Nels gets out of the truck and he's like, and the whole way back we're just going, man, I can't believe these chairs. They're brand new. They're $55 a piece. I looked it up online. They're $55, $5,000 worth of chairs. Okay? Not the end of it. Listen. We get to church that Sunday, we do our thing, we get done, and I can't share, but we're doing money, and I'm training my advisors on how to count money, and we're going through, and I stop and I start crying. Cause I pulled something out that just blew my mind. It was a check for $5,000. Listen to me. You can't tell me that's not God. I don't. You can say whatever you want, but I'm telling you, God is in the business of blessing. He doesn't want to take away from you. God wants to give to you, but He can only release His blessing as you listen. What's it say in Luke? Give. See, that's the prerequisite. And it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Is God going to give it to you? No. Listen to what He says. Shall men given to your bosom. God wants to bless you. But listen, He can't bless you when you tie His hands by not giving. He gave. He gave His very best. Listen, and He gave His very best because He knew there would be a return on what He gave. He knew that He would win. It's scriptural. He knew that He would receive many sons and daughters in return for His Son. That's how God blesses. And that's our pattern. That's not my message. But we have to understand that if we are going to listen, without faith, we can just get rid of this notes. Without faith, the Bible says, it is impossible to please God, because he who comes to God, first of all, must believe that He is. And that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. What's it say? Seek ye first the kingdom and His righteousness. And then what? These things shall be added. But see, we want the add-ons. We want the cars and the houses, and we want the money, and we want the add-ons without seeking for the kingdom first. Uh-huh. See, he says, listen, I know what you have need of. See, I'm going to teach you something. I'm going to teach you how to be 100% stress-free. I'm going to teach you how you can rest in God. Proverbs 3. Here it is. Listen to me. If you can just grasp this, you'll live a stress-free and worry-free life. Proverbs 3 says what? Trust ye in the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And lean not unto your what? Own understanding. Acknowledge the Lord in all your ways, and He will direct your path. See, if you want to live a stress-free life, trust God. Yeah. If you really trust God, what are you worrying about? Mm-hmm. He knows what you have. Listen, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variableness or shadow of turning. He's still God. Yeah. He's still your exceeding great source. He still wants to bless you. He still wants to make you the head and not the tail. He wants to make you above and not beneath. He wants to bless you in your basket and in your home. He wants to bless you going out, and He wants to bless you coming in. But you've got to trust Him. Faith, listen, I share this, listen, this is blowing my mind right now, but listen. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Now the Bible says that hope that is received is no longer hope. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Faith is blind in a sense, isn't it? Really think about it, because you're believing in something that you can't see. Faith is the substance. But what's that substance? It's an expectation that what He says in here is a reality even before you see it. It's a reality that He will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory before you see the supply. When your cupboards are bare and you open it, anybody like me, and you go to the cupboard and look for something and you don't see anything you like, and you shut it, you walk over, you go back to the same cupboard, and you do that five or six, you're opening the fridge. What do you look for? I don't know. Go back. It hasn't changed, but yet you look in the fridge 10 times. That's faith. See, faith is the evidence of things you can't see. So you have an expectation that when God said, I know what you have need of. Take no thought for what you're going to eat. Take no thought for what you're going to wear. Take no thought for where you're going to live. Listen to me. Stop worrying about your light bill. Stop worrying. Listen to me. I'm not telling you not to pay it. What I'm telling you about is to stop worrying about it. If you trust God, why are you worrying? You just said, yeah, double-minded. Isn't that what you just said? You cannot operate in the kingdom with a double mind. Because fear and faith are reciprocals. Fear produces worry. Fear is the root of stress. And so listen to me, what's happening is a tug of war between fear and faith. And if fear is winning in your life, that's when you're crippled by worry and stress. And so when you have faith, when you have an expectation that He shall do exceedingly abundantly all that above all that I ask or think, you have an expectation that if I ask Him to provide for my needs, He's going to do it and go above and beyond that. Listen to me. We are now at $2,000 in 1 week. My wife's been like, because she's just blown away too. I'm telling you, I'm in awe right now. But this is how, when you begin to experience it, when you get substance to it, you don't understand the mountaintop it puts you on. But listen to me, you also don't understand what it does for other people that are watching you. When they begin to see God bless you because you're faithful, when they begin to see God heal your body because you believe the Scripture, you have faith in the Scripture that says, by His stripes I'm healed, and you refuse to allow sickness to get you down, you refuse to allow sickness to defeat you, instead you rise up and say, no, this body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And my Bible says that by His stripes I'm healed, therefore I can't live in sickness and wholeness at the same time. Now we're back to double-mindedness. Yep. Amen. Believing is a little bit different. I used to get confused. What's the difference between belief and faith? But I finally figured it. Well, I didn't figure it out. God dropped it in my spirit this past week. So faith is an expectation that God is going to do what He said He's going to do. That's faith. It's the evidence of things hoped for. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Believing is a confidence, a trust in God that He's going to do what He said He's going to do. It's two different things. I believe that He's going to do what He said. That means I have confidence in what He says in His Word. And so I'm learning, since I've been here in Washington 7 months, 3 days ago, I've learned, and I've prayed the Word before, but I've learned to pray the Word even more. Because you know what? It's His Word. All I'm doing is re-speaking. He says, what? Put me in remembrance. Isn't that what He says? Put me in remembrance. That's what the Word says. So what do? Okay, God. Your Word says this, and then I move on. See, we can't get entangled by reasoning in our mind. How's God going to do it? When's God going to do it? Lord, how are you going to get me? That doesn't matter. All I need to understand is He's going to do it. All I got to settle in myself is that this is what He said and this is what He's going to do. Now I'm moving on. Everybody with me? That's faith. And without it, it is impossible to please God. Because what? We must believe that He is. What's that? Turn over to Malachi. I want to show you something. Malachi 3. You know this. You've heard this read to you probably 30 years. Everybody and their brother uses this. But I want to share something with you out of here. I want you to see something. Chapter 3, verse 6. This is not my message. I wanted to preach tonight, at least I thought I did, on stop being a wimp and come out of the foxhole. Maybe that'll be the next time. Because it's a good message too. We need to understand the authority that we have in Christ Jesus. We are kingdom citizens. We are children of the King, and therefore we have rights of authority, both ablative and authoritative power that's been given to us. But this is just where God has me. Verse 6 says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Listen to me. We're not serving a different God in the New Testament than of the Old Testament. I don't care what people tell you. And it is true that we are under grace, but I really love what he said. Listen, grace is laboring. What did Paul say? For I am who I am, but by the grace of God. And because of that, I labor more, but not me, but grace is laboring with me. See, grace is for you, grace is on you, and grace is laboring with you. It's on you, it's for you, it's with you. It's an empowerment. Grace empowers you. And you cannot live beneath the law and the grace at the same time. Even from the days of your fathers, you are gone away from mine ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me, and I will return unto you. Every time. Don't ever let the enemy dupe you into believing that if you stumble, you can't get back. All you got to do is turn your face back to God. He's forgiving. His mercy endures forever. His love is everlasting. Return unto me and I will return unto you, says the Lord of hosts. But you said, wherein shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me, but you say, wherein have we robbed thee? In tithes and offerings. A lot of people preach this scripture and it's all about tithe. But I'm learning that I need to go above and beyond the tithe and I need to be blessing people. I need to be blessing. My wife did it yesterday, and I was sharing this morning with the folks down at Pathway. At first, my natural reaction was like, because she put a $20 bill on the table, and I had 10 out. And I looked at her, and she said, what? We can't give. We got, sometimes my wife is the Holy Spirit. I don't know about any of you, but sometimes I need to listen to my wife, because she's the Holy Spirit. And most of the time, she's right. Don't tell her I said that. But I'm learning that I need to go above, and that's what I've done since I came here. I thought, okay, I'm going to start just giving. Even when I don't have to give, I'm just going to give. I make it a point every Sunday to have something to give, even if it's a dollar. If it's my last dollar, I give. Not just my tithes, but my offerings. He says, you're cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. He says, so bring you all the tithes in the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. First of all, just let me ask you, is anybody in need of a blessing that you can't even contain? Because I'll be honest with you, in the last week, I'm understanding what this open window is right now. I'm just telling you that there is an open heaven that He will bless you with. But see, there's a pattern of things that we got to do. Listen, God does not draw near to you first. That's not biblical. This song, and I quit singing it once I figured this out. Draw me close. No. That's not, no. Listen to me. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. Seek ye with your whole heart, whole mind, and whole strength, and I shall be found of you. Isn't that what the Bible says in Isaiah? So you need to understand there's a pattern of things that we have to follow in the Bible if we want to see and reap the blessings of God. Here we go. So I'm in need of an open heaven. And I'm going to tell you something. I can't contain $2,000. I've never in my life of working ever made $2,000 in 1 week. I don't know about anybody else. If you have, tell me how. But I haven't. Unless you're a doctor, I think you might be able to do that. That's an open window. Me and my wife last night said, all right, we need to figure out who we can start giving this money away to. Because I figure if I can give it all away, next week I'm probably going to have $4,000. Because you can't outgive God. But you got to do it by faith. You can't be going, oh no. If I give this dollar in the offering, I don't know. Brother Nels this morning did something. I think he kicked the devil right in the teeth this morning. He stood up and he said, listen, I don't know about you, but I've got $5 to my name. On my way here, I noticed that I had a half a tank of gas. I looked at the diapers. I had 10 diapers. I had barely enough wipes. So I don't know how I'm going to make it. This is my last $5, but you know what? I'm going to give it. That's faith. And what he did right there is he put a stop to the devil's fear in his mind. And now God, listen to me, God is going to react to his faith by blessing him and providing for him. Amen. The devil just lost. You want to defeat the devil? Stand up on the authority and ability that God has given you. The devil doesn't have any power over you. The devil can't make you do anything. The devil cannot defeat you. The devil cannot be victorious over you. Do you understand that the Word of God says, "Praise be unto God who causes us to always triumph in Christ Jesus." You can't lose. There's no such thing as a loser in the kingdom. We're winners in Christ Jesus. Jesus said, "I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over what? Every power of the enemy." The first word power is exousios. That's authoritative ability. You have authority. You're seated with Jesus in heavenly places at the right hand of the Father right now. Read Ephesians 1 and Ephesians 2. You're going to find in Ephesians 1 that says that Christ is seated in heavenly places above all powers, principalities, and all the darkness. And in chapter 2 it says that you're seated with him. Where? In a place of authority. Stop letting the devil run you around. Stop letting him lead you around by the collar of guilt and shame and poverty and depression and sickness, and take authority over him and say, "You know what? I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. I take my God-given authority over you and I say, get your hands off my finances. Get your hands off my body. Get your hands off my family."
Amen.
And I will rebuke the devourer. That's the Satan. See, if Satan's devouring your health, if Satan's devouring your finances, if Satan's devouring your family, listen to me. You serve a God that wants to devour him. Not for his sake. Listen to what he says. "For your sakes. And he shall not destroy," listen to what he says, "the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field." See, he's not going to be blowing on what you bring in and scattering it if you're giving it to God, because then God can protect it and he'll rebuke the devourer from what you have left. God only requires 10%. He doesn't require 90. The government requires even more than God does. And they don't want to give it back. But God does. But see, you got to operate in faith. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now listen to me. You can say, "Well, I have a little faith." Well, get rid of your little faith and grow into some big faith. Now listen to me. I'm going to share something that just broke my whole theology on mustard seed faith just a week ago. Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, right? Is that what he said? So we'll agree with that, that's what's in the Bible. And then I believe it's in Mark, he says, listen, he talks about the mustard seed, and he talks about how it grows into the largest of trees, and the birds come and find shelter in it, right? Most birds are carnivorous. Be honest, they're carnivorous. Here's what we've done with that scripture. We've taken the two, mixed them up, and said, "Well, you only need mustard-sized faith." Jesus didn't see that. Your faith has to grow. Because listen to me, how many times did Jesus rebuke his disciples for little faith? "O ye of little faith." O ye, time and time again we see Jesus rebuking them for their unbelief and for their little faith. So what we need to do is grow in our faith till we become the greatest tree there is. We become a shelter for the blessings of God. You see what I'm saying? We've got to allow, we can't, listen, I got saved 12 years ago next week. I can't live on the faith that I had 12 years ago. And God does things for us and puts us in times of testing to read the Bible, to stretch our faith, to grow our faith. So, but I've got to allow my faith to grow, my trust to grow. As I know people more and more, I can trust them more. Yeah. Isn't that right? Yeah. As I get to know you, I put more confidence in you. I put more stock in you. It's the same thing with God. We've got to grow in our confidence. And the only way that you're going to do it is if you stay in this. You can't let this thing get dusty. I'm telling you, I love this thing. I love this thing. I probably should get a new one pretty soon. But I love the Word because it's where I find out who I am, who God is, and what I should be doing. Many of us have lost sight of who we are. Do you not understand this? And it blows my mind. I don't know if it blows your mind. The God of the universe, the God that hung the stars in the sky, places the sun up there. That God has called me His own. He wants to relate. He wants to be intimate with me. He wants to take me to His banqueting table. Not only that, through His Son, Jesus Christ, He's made me a joint heir. Now listen to me. Joint means, and you can look this up, it means on the same level. Whatever is His is mine as well. You say, well, that's blasphemy. We're talking about... No, listen to me. I'm not blaspheming. I'm telling you what the Word of God says. I'm a joint heir with Christ. Everything that Jesus Christ possessed here on earth, power, authority, miracles, whatever, substance, everything that was His here on the earth is now yours here on the earth. That's the kingdom on earth. Everything that is His in heaven, authority, substance, is yours as in heaven. We're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. That blows my mind. And when we begin to understand that, we can walk with our backs a little bit straighter. Our heads up. We won't hang them down. And we will bring glory to God. Am I talking about a prosperity? No. Listen to me. The hyper-prosperity message says, get for you. Get. He talked about the farmer. I shared a little bit about that farmer that Jesus said. He said, oh, I got to build me bigger barns for my goods. My labors. He kept saying, I have an underline in my Bible. I think it's like six times. He says, mine. Ownership. He took ownership of something that was never his. And when we get that concept, it's so much easier for us to go, doesn't belong to me anyways. Isn't it easier? Listen, if you gave me a car and said, do with it what you want, it'd be so much easier for me to give it away because it doesn't belong to me. It's His. Well, that's what God does with everything you own. Everything you think you own. Everything you have. Your house, your shirts, your cars. It should be so easy. Somebody says, man, I really love your tie. There you go. It's yours. Because I'll get 10 more next week. See what I'm saying? I don't give to get, but I'm telling you, that's how God, I'm learning. God is not a God of addition. He's a God of multiplication. He is multiplying. I don't even know where to go from here. That wasn't my message. If you're in need, listen to me. If you're in need, here's the thing. Jesus told Peter, Satan desires to sift you. You know what he said to him? You know, Satan desires to sift you like wheat. Satan is still seeking to devour whom he can. He is still a killer. He is still a thief. He came to rob you of life and of joy. We prayed for her for joy this morning. It blessed my heart. And we're like, yes!
I wasn't there, by the way.
Wasn't there. We just said, hey, let's just pray for... And that's what we prayed. That's the God we serve. But see, he came to kill, steal, and destroy. Isn't that what Satan came to do? That's his job, and he's good at it. But listen to me. You don't have to allow him to do that to you. You can stop him in his tracks by squaring your shoulders and by faith destroying him by taking authority over him according to the Word. That's your ability. That's your authority. You have it. Jesus is praying that your faith doesn't fail you. Listen, he's no respecter of persons. And if he prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail him when Satan was wanting to sift him like wheat, then he's praying for you. And I share with my people, the toughest and hardest time of faith is the last half hour. It's the last half hour. Will I give in and react according to my flesh and try to birth an Ishmael? Or will I wait upon the Lord and believe that He shall deliver? It may come down to the last minute you have before they cut your lights off. But you trust God. And God will not let you down.